continuation of the last session, I'd like to make a couple comments. If you like what you've been hearing from Maranatha Church, please hit like us down at the bottom. You can also subscribe to our channel and click the bell below to be notified of new posts. I would also like to thank members of my congregation who have contacted me during this monster test that's over humanity, and it affects all of us one way or another. But we're all, I want to thank you for your obviously your prayers as always, and thank you for your phone calls and emails that are there to encourage me. And I hope that I can encourage you too in these last days. God never puts on us more than we can handle. And he's put on us a corporate test, and it's a big one. We are in the last of the last days. I will try to present some lessons with regard to that here, hopefully fairly soon. My congregation is fully apprised of these things. I don't know if every one of them believes all of it or not. That's not my concern. My concern is to communicate information and leave it with people. I can only give you documentation, and you do with it as you will. But we are in the rapture generation. And that generation began when Israel became a nation once again in 1948. If you're familiar with Jewish history, you know that they have suffered three dispersions: the Assyrian, the Babylonian, and the Roman, and were scattered all over the earth, and now in these last days have returned to their ancient homeland and formed a nation state in 1948. That's the final generation. More on that later. And we're winding down to the end of the time limit for that generation. We're going to be out of here soon. We've got a final thing to go through, not just this virus event, but whatever else is out there. Jesus Christ controls history. He is the Lord of history. God permits certain things, then he overrules them. And he is conducting human history as he always has, and has this timeline, which we'll refer to. He has it pegged, absolutely. Nothing is delayed. Everything is in order. All the timing is perfect with regard to his plan. All right, suffering, as we continue here in fellowship, suffering is a regular part of the Christian experience in the world, the cosmos. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16:33, in the world you have tribulation. That's a general word, not technical for the trib, but technical for pressure. In the world, you have tribulation. Now, sometimes it's more noticeable than other times, and it comes from various sources and various things. Upheavals in human history, periods of persecution, and all the rest of it. In the world, you have tribulation. But take courage. I've overcome the world. So they did what they did, and he overcame the world through his resurrection. We too will overcome this mess. We'll overcome it. We will be resurrected right where we are, what we're doing, right in front of unbelievers, and all other details. And all of us will be the same age as Jesus when he was raised, about 35 years of age. I don't care if you're younger than that or a lot older. We're all going to get a perfect resurrection body, just like his. There's verses on that. And we will be with him forever. And some of us who are alive at the rapture, we'll only spend 7 years in heaven. And then we'll come back to this earth and rule for 1,000. And then he'll get rid of this earth, set up a new creation. Creation 2, Earth 2. Anyway. So Jesus taught his disciples to expect it. You have to give people a heads up about things. This, we are in the angelic conflict. And the angelic conflict has casualties, like a war. We are in an angelic conflict. Do not be a casualty. Get with the truth. I'm not saying don't die. I'm saying don't die, die with honor in the will of God, moving forward spiritually in whatever your circumstances happen to be. John chapter 15, verse 17. Now you need to have a heads up. The world out there isn't your friend. I know you've got people out there that are nice people and do things that aren't necessarily believers. Jesus said in John, there, those verses, if the world hates you, first class condition, and it does. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The world, the Jewish world, the Gentile world, they had an opportunity to check in to this miracle worker and all that was going on. All the authorities had the ability to go down. You think, ruling over a group of people, you think, I want to find out about that guy. Maybe he can help us out. We got sick people. We got stuff going on. Let's go check him out. See if this is fake or not. They didn't do that. Oh, there was an exception. A delegation of Greeks came to him. They'd heard about clear over in Greece. News spreads, even back then. But the world, with all of its high people and all of its people of authority and all the people who had the ability to do investigative work and check this out, they didn't do it. You know, that is why the crucifixion and, in that context, Jesus bearing the sins of the world was a public event. It was a public event. It wasn't done, Paul said to one authority he was brought before, these things weren't done in a corner. They were done right out in the open. So eyewitnesses could see it and report it. And investigators at the time could come in and investigate it. Well, they've long gone by the wayside. So what do we have in its place? The New Testament, in particular the Gospels. They ring authentic. When you study them properly, they ring authentic. As does all the Bible. But we're relating this to the person of Christ. And this is the same thing my congregation, we were dealing with in First John. The same thing. It's like First John, in its own way, echoes the same thing. John, of course, was here when he heard these words. Wrote First John, he was way up there in age. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. True identification with Jesus Christ engenders antagonism, hate, whatever word you want to use with regard to people that maybe even are friendly and nice and all that business. The non-believer is in a hate mode. Somebody who believes switches from that to love and fulfills the first commandment, the greatest of all, the easiest of all. You get the most from it, and you have to put nothing into it. It costs you nothing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's a command. And the person that does it, that's an act of love towards the Lord and towards God. Whereas before, like take Paul, before it was hate, antagonism. And then he says, remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. The disciples, in the analogy, are the servants or the slaves. The master is Christ. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Excuse me. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Excuse me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. I teach that as, once you're exposed to the truth, once you hear it, your culpability level increases. To do the wrong thing and not know better is one thing. That's bad. But to have heard and understood it and then blown it off, that's what Jesus is talking about here. He who hates me hates my Father also. So anyway, moving on here. Paul briefed new converts on the eventuality of suffering. Acts 17:42. Cycling back through the churches he'd established, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. That's doctrine. And saying, this is to be honest with everybody, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So life is full of tribulations, trials, testings. Might as well do it under God, under the truth, and reap eternal reward for it. You're also benefited in time because you're made stronger spiritually to finish up this race and lay hold of the ultimate award, external reward, bestowed upon any believer. The prize, called the crown. And it's not handed out to all the saints, or it wouldn't mean anything. And the only ones that are going to get the well done are the ones that lined up with the truth and execute it. Those that do their own modification of things, they're disqualified. Paul talked about the potential of himself being disqualified after he preached to others. I could mess up before the end. I don't have any plans to. I'm asking myself, what's out there that's so much better? What's out there that's so much better? Millions of dollars? There's all kinds of people with millions of dollars. That will not deliver them. They die too. They suffer things too. And then they die and it's all left to others that fight over it. You want something permanent, eternal, and lasting and still be able to be blessed in time? You can be blessed in the midst of this crisis. Don't get discouraged. Start praying about stuff. Maybe this was designed for us positive believers here at Maranatha and elsewhere. Maybe it's a kick in the pants. Or taking for granted what we've had all these years. What I can boast about is this. Well, I know the Lord and I know His plan. What I can boast about is that this. If someone gets under this ministry, who's not even saved, they can make all three adjustments to God, or at least be in the process for the third one, and get their crown. Because the information distributed matters. None of this business out there about, well, we all just have different beliefs, but we all love Jesus. No, you do not. No, they do not. The truth. You have to walk in the truth. And if you have contradictory ideas and concepts that you think are based on the Bible, God is not the author of confusion, and He doesn't reward people for false information. Now, there is a variety and abundance of common human problems, CHPs, for the believer in time. Or phase two of the plan. As I've told you, phase two is everything from your salvation to when you're out of here. And enter the phase three, the afterlife. Phase two. So, we have these common things. The Christian way of life also has various blessings that parallel our common human problems. This is not suffer every minute. We couldn't handle that. We get temporal blessings that God gives us in time. By the way, He is not restricted by the economic situation that is out there. He will take care of you. He will fulfill the promises to you. He will feed you. He will give you what you need. Keeping body and soul together so you can focus on His plan by being what we call face-to-face and by getting out there and applying doctrine to your everyday events, overruling your sin nature, getting yourself back in fellowship. The scripture here is Matthew 10, and it is a familiar one to us. Anything worth doing involves some sacrifices. I don't have to explain. You want to succeed at something, you have to make some sacrifices. And the Christian way of life is no different. In Matthew 10, let me see here. I'll be sure I got this. No, I was in Mark 10. My bad. Wrong one. I knew that was. This one. You know, when Jesus called His disciples, one by one, or so, on different occasions, and build up this cadre of 12 individuals. Guess what they were required to do? Now, these were young men. They had careers or jobs, professions they were engaged in. Some of them had families, like Peter, married. And they're out there, in the case of Peter, and people like Peter and John, they're out there working in their daily profession, which was harvesting fish out of the Sea of Galilee, commercial fishermen, with nets and all that. They've been trained to do that by their fathers. And Jesus comes along. And He tells them, follow Me. Oh, I'll do it later. No, they didn't say that. They dropped what they were doing and they followed Him. Their lives were forever changed. Mark 10:28. Peter began to say to Him, Peter always liked to open his mouth, didn't he? Different personalities. Behold, going to notify Jesus of something. We have left everything and followed You. That's a true statement to the extent that they did. Jesus said, truly I say to you, okay, let me give you some divine viewpoint. There is no one who has left house or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or farms, we would say businesses, for My sake and for the gospel's sake. But that he will receive 100 times as much in the present time. That's the potential. That's the high bar. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms. He leaves out fathers. You got a heavenly Father. Anyway, in regards to that people, as the brothers, sisters, and mothers, it's what I call when you get as a family of positive believers and you come together. Excuse me. You would like your family, but they don't always come around. So you get replacement relationships. Replacement relationships in a new brotherhood, a new family, the family of God. And it's nice when a natural member of your family is here, but if they're not, they're not. and children and farms. And then he throws in, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. The afterlife. For the now, he'll give you a new friend. A friend that's positive. That may change several times throughout your life. So, Peter, you left everything, huh? Well, let me introduce you to the new people, all the people Peter met as he fulfilled his ministry out there. All suffering and testing is accompanied by comfort and encouragement from the Lord. This is another thing. In the midst of our trials, if you're one in fellowship, if you are looking for it, you are going to be comforted, encouraged by words, by others, and by circumstances. But you've got to be in fellowship. You can't be out of fellowship, worrying, upset, bored. Start praying. Find something to do. Call somebody. Help somebody. You're in God's plan. You're in something that is mind-boggling. So, that's in 2 Corinthians 4. And find it here. 2 Corinthians 4. No. 2 Corinthians 1. 4 through 7. 2 Corinthians 1, 4 through 7. With verse 3 in the opening to the letter, in praise of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Hand it off to another person. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So that continues. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, Paul speaking of him and his team, his missionary team, it is for your comfort and deliverance. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings with which we suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Comfort can come in a variety of ways. The more you face sufferings that are undeserved, let me add that, two kinds of ways the believer suffers. Deserved. We call it divine discipline. You do the wrong thing, and God disciplines those he loves. You do the right thing, or it's undeserved. Someone's putting you down because you're a Christian, you go to that church, you believe, blah, 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 then that's undeserved suffering. And remember, what they're saying, they have no authority behind it. They just have words. The more you face sufferings that are undeserved, the more you can expect to be encouraged by God. 2 Corinthians 1:3. But you must be in fellowship and looking for the various forms in which this comfort comes to you. And by the way, when it does, and God encourages you by helping you get something worked out or something comes to you, thank him right there. Keep it coming. Comfort the royal family during this time. Encourage the royal family during this time when things are like they are. And I know how they are. Obviously, complete deliverance from test brings comfort. But God also comforts you while you are in the midst of it, as read in those verses. We'll pick up here next time. Close enough? Okay. Again, thank you out there, royal family, for your encouragement. Hang in there. If you need anything, get a hold of one of us on the board. See what we can do for you. Don't just sit out there if there's something that you need that we can help you with, whatever it might be. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity of hearing these matters. May we bear up under this test and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.